So what would a Revelation series be without something on Revelation 13, 18, right? The number of the beast, 666. You've heard of that number, haven't you? Hopefully it's not in your address. We're going to do some checking this morning, though. I can be described by a variety of numbers. I have a social security number. And to the U.S. government, that's who I am, this 9-digit readout. To the company that insures my cars and my house, I'm another number. The electric company knows me as their particular number. The water company by another number. To Citibank, I'm also a number. Which is not surprising, right? We in this electronic age that we live in, this age of computers, it doesn't surprise us that we are known by numbers. But when we find people in the Bible described in terms of a number, we may wonder what is going on. And we suspect correctly that numbers in the Bible are something more than simply an ID for filing purposes. In chapter 13, we were introduced to the beast coming out of the sea. And while his description is problematic, it's a challenge, the one thing that has caused more difficulty, more speculation than anything else is what we find in verse 18. Because it speaks of this mysterious, this puzzling number. 666. Have you heard of that number? You have. Countless articles and papers and commentaries have been written about the meaning of 666. And if you had a nickel for every word that was written, you'd be really rich. And yet, with all the writing, with all the different interpretations that have been made, there is still no firm consensus. It is still debatable. And even as early as the second century, that's in the 100s, less than Revelation probably was written around AD 90. And so in the next 50, 60 years, we have evidence that if there was a code, the people then had already lost it. I say if there was a code. Now, one well-known and common approach, which different interpreters have used, the Reformers used, along with many others, including Adventists, is what we call the system of gematria. We could put that up on the screen. It's kind of small, but I think you'll get the picture. Where the letters of the alphabet, of course, back then, they didn't have a system of numbers like we do today. And so the letters of the alphabet would be substituted for numbers. And you can see on the left hand is the Greek and on the right hand is the Hebrew. And each letter corresponds to a number value amount depending on the letter and where it is in the alphabet. And so you could form a number value from a name or any other word for that matter. For example, there was a popular bit of graffiti that was found in Pompeii that read like this: "I love her whose number is 545. So who she was, we don't know. But if you added up the value of the letters in her name, it came to 545. You get the picture? And so with this approach, gematria, a wide variety of persons have been identified as the beast. In the early church, that is, to the ones who first heard and read John's letters, for them it was Nero, Caesar. Somehow as they added those letters together, it came up to 666. Others were mentioned: Caligula, Domitian, a variety of the Roman rulers put together. And then in Britain, in England, from 1560 to 1830, not quite 300 years, more than 100 names were proposed to fit this scheme. There have been many other interpretations, from the Pope, which was very popular, as you can imagine, by the Reformers. Adventists have accepted that. Lutherans as well, and others. From him to Hitler to Napoleon to even Martin Luther was accused of being that beast with that number. And the list goes on and on and on. Now, for your information, I checked out my name. Because you can do that. You can go online. You can find a calculator that uses these two methods. So I put my name in, Jeff Taylor, in the Jewish chart, 1268. In the Greek chart, Jeff Taylor, 1516. So, if you're brave enough, if you want to clear yourself, you can look that up. Just type your name in and it'll show you the numerical value of your name. However, we are still no closer to solving this riddle. And perhaps, I would suggest to you, perhaps the reason is that we are asking the wrong question. And if you ask the wrong question, you're going to get the wrong answer. So what if we approach this number like all the other numbers in the book of Revelation? That would seem to make sense, wouldn't it? We ought to have some kind of consistency to our method of interpretation. Which is to say, it is a symbolic number and does not stand for any person or institution. But rather, the number simply stands for the beast. 666 equals the beast. Let's review for just a moment when it comes to numbers. I believe we have a slide about these. In Revelation, numbers play an incredibly important role. The number 7 is the most frequently used one in all of Revelation. More than 50 sevens. Why do you think that is? Why are there so many sevens? Because, as it shows there, 7 in apocalyptic literature, which is the kind Revelation is, a book of symbols, Revelation symbolizes perfection. Symbolizes, as it says, rest in Jesus. All that he has done is symbolized by the number 7. Just a few other examples. We're not going to look at all of them. But number four, when the number four is used, it refers to the world, to the earth. Makes sense, doesn't it? Because we speak of the four corners of the earth. 10 has to do with completeness. And as you can see, 12, when 12 is used, it refers to all of God's people. Which again makes sense, because there are 12 tribes in the Old Testament, 12 apostles in the New. So we need to notice this and realize that in Revelation, numbers are symbolic. They have more to do with qualities rather than quantities. So we do well as we think about the number 666 and trying to understand it, to pay particular attention to the number 7. Because remember, 7, well, you can see, symbolizes fullness, perfection, rest in Jesus. And when we compare the number 6 to the number 7, what do we see happening? 6 is the number that constantly falls short. Never reaches 7. For example, the 6th church, the 6th seal, the 6th trumpet, the 6th bowl all reveal incredible conflict. A constant falling short of perfection and the rest that Christ offers, symbolized by the number 7. Each of those 6s, church, seal, trumpet, and bowl, each of those depict God's judgment on the followers of the beast. So 6 is a bad number because it falls short. Whereas, in contrast, the 7th trumpet portrays the eternal kingdom of Christ. So, to be identified with 6 is to experience conflict and judgment. They do not experience the rest of the Lamb. Notice a scripture that goes along with this, just a chapter later, Revelation 14:11. 14:11, as he speaks about the followers of the beast. 14:11, it says, "The smoke of their torment rises up forever and ever." Notice this next line. What's it say? "There will be no rest, no rest, day or night, for those who worship the beast or receive the mark of his name." No rest, because they are outside of Christ. I think, too, of Scripture, Isaiah 48:22. Even in the Old Testament, we see this truth. Verse 22 in Isaiah 48, "The Lord declares, there is no," what? "No peace for the wicked." Couldn't we say no rest for the wicked? There's no peace for the wicked. And I think, in contrast to what Jesus offers, what a difference we see between 7 and Christ and 6 and the beast, which of course indirectly is referring to Satan. Jesus' words, Matthew 11:28, ones we probably know well. Jesus says, "Come to me, you who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest." Rest. Jesus gives rest. And also in Romans chapter 5, verse 1, and Paul says, because we have been justified or rightified through faith, we have what? Peace, rest with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so God's people, they know rest. They know peace because they are in Christ. In contrast, the beast and his image have the number that identifies this ceaseless striving modeled by their leader Satan. Do you remember, and I don't have this on the screen, but Isaiah 14, where Lucifer said, I will ascend to the heavens. I will set my crown up with the Lord. He was always wanting more, more, and more, and he never got there because he was trying to do it on his own. He was trying to take from God what only belonged to God. So six is an attempt to take God's place in human hearts by any system, any philosophy apart from Christ. That is six. Therefore, six is that numerical symbol of the restless lost without the Lamb Jesus as Lord of their life. They can never, never find rest. Now there's a practical application for us here. We just looked at that verse where Jesus says, come to me and I will give you rest. Makes me think or ask a question, you know, if you don't know rest, if you don't have assurance in your Christian experience, is that the religion of Jesus? Because he says, come to me, I'll give you rest. And it would seem to me that if you don't know rest, if you don't have assurance, sounds to me like you're having a beast-like Christian experience. Do you think that's possible? You know, always striving, but never arriving. You know, always falling short of perfection because we're just human. And we haven't learned to look outside ourselves yet to the only place to get that rest. For the Christian, and we can never hear this too often, rest and peace only come when we look away from ourselves to what Christ has accomplished for us. The only place to find rest and peace. In that verse, back in Revelation 13, verse 18, you can translate a phrase there in a number of different ways. And some ways we translate it throws us off, like the one on the screen. And that's probably from the NIV, which I use all the time, by the way. But it's not perfect. The last part there, it says, the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. So as soon as you read that, you hear that, what are you thinking? Well, it represents a man, a person, yes. Whereas in reality, there are other and probably better ways to translate that, which is to say, it can also be translated, it is humanity's number. Or it is human number. It is a human number. Not so much a man's number. That gets us going, I believe, in the wrong direction. But when we think of it is a human number, it helps us to understand a fuller picture of what is taking place. And it makes me think of humanity in relationship to God. And I think of that verse in Romans 3:23, which I don't have up on the screen, but it says, all have what? Sinned and fall short. Not a seven, they fall short a six of the glory of God. And actually that verse is better translated and continually fall short of the glory of God. So 666 represents man's refusal, his inability to proceed to seven, to give glory to God as his creator and redeemer. Trying to attain this perfection on his own. It is, just like Lucifer modeled for us, it is a fixation on self, an idolatry of self. Humanism at its worst, focusing on the creature and his works, which can only reveal the greatest of imperfection. 666 is that number. Because it is humanity's number. It's the one that falls short of perfection in each one of its digits. It is failure upon failure upon failure. It symbolizes the beast's continuing failure to accomplish his purpose. The Trinity of imperfection. It points to the number of the beast, 666, points to that last apostasy where the false Trinity, the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet join together to rule on the earth. You can find that Revelation 16:13. Now let me present to you a better question to ask that can help us to solve this seeming riddle. Try this question on. What sort of number do we think might be used to symbolize false religion? Well, the answer, 666. And you know the reason why now, don't you? It's a number as close as can be to perfection, but it never achieves it. It's something which tries to look like truth, but it's not. Because it's false religion. This we know for certain. The beast in all of his activities is consistently, persistently missing the mark. Over and over and over again. 666. Always incomplete. Always imperfect. Always restless. And we need to notice for those who follow the beast, that is their experience too. How are we doing? So since the number 666 symbolizes the beast and its failings, let's look for just a moment as to how that second beast, the second part of Revelation 13, plays into this scenario. chapter 13, verse 11, we get a very significant clue in speaking about the second beast, which came up out of the earth. Notice what it says there. John writes, "Then I saw a second beast coming up out of the earth. It had two horns like a lamb, but it spoke like a dragon." Does that make you think of anything? Here's a beast that appears to be lamb-like, right? Lamb-like. And yet, in its language and speech, is like a dragon, or we could even say satanic, couldn't we? Because the dragon and the Satan are one and the same. What or who would appear lamb-like and yet in its language speaks like a dragon? What kind of hint is that giving to us? And if we look back to what Jesus told us, Matthew 7, there in verse 15, notice his warning to us. Jesus says, "Watch out for what? False prophets. Why? Because they come to you in sheep's clothing." That sort of sounds lamb-like, does it not? Yeah. "But inwardly they are ferocious wolves." Sounds a lot like what's happening in Revelation 13, doesn't it? Symbolic, we find there, that beast of a false prophet. That is, true religion that has gone bad. And we know it's false because of its purposes. And we see there its whole goal is to take away worship from the Lord God and bring it to himself. And as we notice the methods that it uses, we know that it's false because it uses deception and it uses force. Look for just a moment that this idea of deception that is a characteristic of any false prophet, and this one specifically, verse 14. Yes, talks about the signs it was given power, the second beast, to perform on behalf of the first beast. What's the word? It deceived. It deceived the inhabitants of the earth, which, by the way, refers to those who are not God's people. So we don't have to see ourselves in that particular term. It deceives the inhabitants of the earth, ordered them to set up an image in honor of the beast. But the key idea there, it deceived the inhabitants of the earth. So I want to ask a question. How does this beast deceive? And we know, as we study the book of Revelation, it does so by mimicking, by copying, by counterfeiting that which is true and genuine. In other words, it presents something close to, but not exactly like, God's way. It presents an alternative way to worship, an alternative way to do life. It's not seven, it's 666. It falls short. But for someone who isn't in tune with God, six might look an awful lot like seven, don't you think? It's pretty close. Notice, just a few of these. I don't have scriptures. I could give them to you, of course. But in Revelation, just some of the, what shall we say, some of the copying, some of the masquerading that's going on by the beast. Notice, Jesus is pictured in Revelation as wearing many crowns. The beast is wearing 10 crowns. Copying him, isn't he? The Father gives the Lamb all power, gives him a throne, gives him authority. Satan gives the beast his power, his throne, and his authority. Jesus, the representative of his Father. The beast is the living embodiment of Satan. Both the Lamb and the beast have horns of power. Both of them wield a sword. Both lead their forces into battle. Both are called king. How do you tell them apart? And notice this one. This is just an incredible thing. Jesus died and rose again. Chapter 13, what happens to the second beast? Receives a deadly wound, is healed, lives again. In so many ways, copying, counterfeiting the truth of Scripture, the truth of Jesus' life. He even, the beast, as it says, chapter 13, calls down fire from heaven. There was a true prophet that did that. You remember Elijah in the Old Testament. And yet the false prophet is doing the same thing. We ought not to be surprised at any of this. I think of 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14. Talks about Satan's servants and what they are doing to deceive people. And verse 14 in 2 Corinthians 11 says, don't be surprised by this, because it says, even Satan transforms himself into an angel of light. So even he will do that in order to deceive people. So what are we going to do? What are we going to do? So much counterfeit, so much mimicry, so much copying, something that's so close. How am I going to be sure that I won't be taken in, that I won't be deceived? How am I going to figure all of this out? We may feel overwhelmed with these miracles, these wonders, these deceptions, these signs that, is it the false prophet or are they coming from God? How will I know what's false and what's true? How can I be assured of not being deceived? Verse 18, one more time. At the very beginning of that verse, there is a significant admonition. Notice that first line. It says, this calls for what? Wisdom. Calls for wisdom. Which is to say, we don't have to be good at arithmetic. We don't have to be able to solve complex mathematical problems. We don't need our calculators. What we need is spiritual discernment. What we need is wisdom. Wisdom comes from God. And I would remind each of us that God's people at this point, they are sealed. Back in chapter 7, just after in chapter 14, it talks about they are sealed by God. They have His name. They belong to Him. But before even that, we were already sealed. Each of us, we've been sealed already. Did you know that? If you're a believer, if you have faith in Christ, you have already been sealed by the Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. Let's look at that for just a moment. Yes, it says, those of you who were included in Christ, when you heard the message of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, when you believed, you were marked in Him with a, what? A seal. And we don't have to wonder what that seal is. The seal, the promised Holy Spirit. So we have God's Spirit who has sealed us, and because we have His Spirit, we have His wisdom. And there's a text in John, our last text, I believe. John 16, verse 13. Notice what the Spirit will do for us and in us. When the Spirit of truth, that's good to know, isn't it? He's the Spirit of truth. So when all these different things are happening, we don't have to be too worried because we have the Spirit of truth, God's Spirit. He will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on His own. He will speak only what He hears, and He will tell you what is yet to come. The Spirit will guide us into all truth. So instead of trying to figure everything out on our own, we simply need to reaffirm the truth that you and I, we have been sealed with the Spirit. And that we have His wisdom, and that He will guide us into all truth, no matter what comes. So what's in a number? What's in a number? If it is three sixes, you know, it's that which always comes up short. Unable to reach the perfection and the rest of Jesus Christ. To avoid it is simple. It's simple. Look to Jesus. Look to Jesus. Accept over and over and over again His completed work, which He has done for you. Find rest for your souls in Him. And then, you and I, we need never worry about 666 and falling short. Because in Jesus Christ, we are then a perfect seven. May that be true for each of us this day. Amen.